Are you sure we can tell this?
Massive fan of Off the Ball.
Ireland is in dreamland.
The All Ireland finals are almost upon us.
There's always good guests on.
Fastest ever seen you run in your life, though.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
Highly recommend it.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
You're very welcome to the latest episode of The Racing Pod, and it's Johnny Ward standing in for John Duggan today, and Tom Malone is going to join me as the guest, and we have two halves of the show. The first half is free to air, the second half is for members, and we'll be looking across the main British meets on Saturday and discussing some of the big races to come and reflecting on the week that was. And we're delighted to be able to bring you this show every Friday. It includes analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews and crack. Thanks for all the kind comments that we've been getting in recent weeks. The first half of the pod will be free to air, as I said. The second part will be exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join, and you don't want to miss out on all the info. How are you, Tom Malone?
I'm not too bad, Johnny. It's been a tough enough week for racing now, given the news we've had. We've lost some big character in the likes of David Power, and also the tragic news about John Hunt's family as well.
Yeah, I'm just in the process of writing an article on David Power for The Currency, which will be out tomorrow if you're a subscriber to that. And it's interesting with David. He was a guy that I didn't know very well, because discretion was such a big important of his operation. And just the whole David Power kind of, I suppose, the myth, the legend, the man, it's all sort of true, really, Tom. And you delve into it, and there aren't that many stories, because he didn't tell them. He was a very, very honourable old bookmaker, passed away age 77 this week, and a thorough gentleman by all accounts.
Yeah, I came across him a few times. When I was prepping to do that charity race, he used to ride it down Eddie Lynam's a bit. So he would come down to the yard a couple of times, really unassuming, lovely man. Actually, one morning we had an incident where one of his horses got kicked. And it was the kind of thing that you think, oh God, not in front of the biggest owner in the yard. But he just didn't faze him at all. Just a lovely, lovely man. And like you say, he seemed to be a real old school kind of bookmaker. Ran a very, very discreet business and never seemed to turn down a bet either.
The mad thing as well was, in the racing sense, when you reflect on his ownership, the fact that he had the two big winners of the sprint race at Royal Ascot 10 years ago, considering the dearth of sprinters in Ireland, neither Slade Power nor Sole Power was especially expensively bred or procured. You know, I guess sprinters kind of often fall on you, in the sense that, you know, we don't really have top-class sprinters in Ireland, but this all happened, and I guess he was what? So he would have been just into retirement at that stage, probably still laying away at the track, but by all accounts, that was a magic time for him to be around, and the Lynam yard, and Johnny Murta, and Richard Hughes, and Wayne Lorden, and Chris Hayes, just magic to be around.
Yeah, Lord, it seemed like it was absolutely brilliant, and what great horses they were. I mean, I think it was 10 years ago Eddie went with four runners at Royal Ascot and came away with a Queen Mary, a King Stand, and a Diamond Jubilee. So, and by all accounts, the Powers all had a few quid on the treble and the double as well. So, you know, as well as getting the big win on the track, they took a few quid off their comrades as well.
Just Dave Keenan gave me a lift back from the race in Sligo on Sunday, and David Power came up, and I was going to say today to Dave, I understand he's not well at all actually at the moment, and it went out of my head, and we moved on to something else. But he was talked about the days of the Phoenix Park, where as a young kid he'd go, and it was Sean Graham, Joe Donnelly, David Power, and Terry Rogers would be the four, and this was like the biggest pantomime and the biggest race at the races. Wasn't so much the race itself, it was actually the scrum to get a bet on those days.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite incredible. And suppose you contrast it as well to now. I plan to go into this, but like, see a fellow I know, he's gone into the ring betting scene, AK Betts, Anthony Kaminskis, and he tweeted last night about the incredible lack of turnover he had at Leopardstown last night. And he actually spoke during the week as well, where he said he'd spoken to David Power. David Power had given him an hour of his time, and he'd spoken about becoming a ring bookmaker, and David had said to him not to do it. But I mean, he literally posted his turnover last night. He had two pitches, and on a couple of races, he took less than 10 bets. So, I mean, that's quite the contrast with two Dublin tracks there. The Phoenix Park, of course, closed down a few years ago, and the stories we hear about it and how lively it was. And Leopardstown, which is Dublin's only track now, and, you know, had a huge band there last night. And Hermitage Green, obviously probably not our vintage Johnny, but you know, it was a tough evening for the ring bookmakers.
Well, it's funny you mention AK, because I hadn't seen that now, so I'll reference that in the piece. But as David was being laid to rest yesterday in Mount Jerome up in Harris Cross where I live, AK's office is literally, I'd say, about 50 yards.
100 yards, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, and I was reflecting as well, like, that the Harless Cross Greyhound Stadium, and you know the area well yourself, the Harless Cross Greyhound Stadium is now gone as well, and the betting ring in the greyhound industry is dead. And I suppose one of the things I'll reflect on in the piece is that David Power was massively enriched by the internet and what Paddy Power did in the internet age. But, you know, video killed the radio store, basically, or video killed the radio star. Certainly the internet has kind of killed the ring, and it's just a sad reality.
Yeah, it really is. And that kind of glare and irony can't be overlooked either, you know. And like, going to the races, there's a massive advantage. Going to the races, you have a massive advantage, really, because you get to see the horses in the flesh. An example of that would be, you know, the Railway Stakes last weekend, where the Aidan O'Brien Outsider, if you were just sitting at home and watching that race and you just think, well, Tunbridge Wells here is clearly the Aidan O'Brien first string. He's obviously miles better than Henri Matisse. There was little between the pair on form, but actually when you looked him around the ring and we had a slightly rain-softened surface, Henri Matisse is a full hand bigger than Tunbridge Wells. And if you didn't know which was which, you would, on just looking at them, you say that horse is 7-4 and that horse is 8-1. And it was the opposite way around in the market. So yeah, the internet's great and all, and we can have a bet in it, but being on site, there are such advantages to it. And that was just a kind of obvious recent example I just thought of there.
Yeah, I still feel I'm with you on that. I still feel if it's kind of up to the race courses for me to attract race goers back. And I know it's challenging, but I'm like you, Tom. You know, I was in Belluestown and Sligo last week, and I massively enjoyed the experience, just the buzz that was there. And you mentioned the City of Troy was obviously in action. In the Eclipse last Saturday, he was workmanlike at short odds. What were your reflections on it? We haven't seen him in Ireland yet this season. He's made his three trips to Britain. He's been exceptional in the Derby, workmanlike in the Eclipse, obviously bombed out in the Guineas. But yeah, what did you make of Saturday?
Yeah, I suppose you say 1-1-1, wouldn't you? It's kind of like, I seem to have been more impressed than most people. The ground was against him, the draw was against him. He went and he won his race. I feel like, and I really don't want to compare it to See the Stars, but I just feel like he's just one of those horses who kind of does enough. I feel like the reason he was so good in the Derby was because of the loose horse. And that's the reason he put so much daylight between himself and Ambiente Friendly. If he had been left out there on his own, I think he might have pricked his ears. Ambiente Friendly would have come to him and he probably would have gone on again. You know, and then I just think that the loose horse brought out what City of Troy can do in the Derby. Whereas at Sandown, he's there, he goes and beats the horse in front of him. Ryan gets stuck. Yes, he lugs away a little bit in towards the rail. They've given out about the ground and stuff like that. But I think as soon as Joseph's horse comes to his quarters at all, he goes and he picks up again. And then the thing for me, I was watching it with a mate of mine who'd be big into like closely watching the horses finish out the races. And like, Reimer did struggle to pull him up. Like, it's not like he fell over the line. He got lit up as soon as Joseph's horse came to him. He went on again. He won for me very snugly. And then, you know, Ryan has to put the feet in the dashboard to pull him up. So it looked to me like he's won very handy. People are saying it's workmanlike. I think he won with plenty in hand. And he's just the kind of horse that's always just going to beat what's in front of him. And again, the big win in the Derby, I put that down to having the loose horse to chase.
That's an interesting take on it. I'd be more inclined as well to forgive him as well. I think, you know, that he's better than he showed. And what was extraordinary was Ryan Moore after racing. I thought he'd win 10 lengths.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a very good John Magnet quote as well afterwards too. There, you know, it's down to the horse now to do the talking. We've talked enough about he used a rather colourful expression, but I really like this horse. I think they have talked him up extensively. Very few horses take that, you know, Derby Eclipse route now. I mean, you know, it's not that well trodden. I think only three have tried it since See the Stars, you know, so it's not, yeah, or sorry, four maybe have tried it since See the Stars. So it's not something that's done that often. And again, I would see a lot of those horses, if they're out for classics, they often get a little break immediately after the Derby, and they're just on the way back up for, you know, the later half of the season, the arguably bigger prizes when you look towards the likes of, you know, the Champion Stakes and the Arc and potentially international assignments later in the calendar. So I would say one of the reasons why the horse has gone there, and maybe I also don't think I still think he'll improve from the run, was just because they're so anxious to put as much clear blue water between themselves and that Guineas run as possible as well, you know. You know, there you go. You got two back-to-back Group 1s in the bag now. He's won his Classic. He's won his All-Age Group 1. You know, he's done more than enough to be a very good stallion, and now he needs to go and prove himself that he's a potential superstar, you know.
Just if you're listening on the radio and you're not a massive racing fan, how do you explain to the person listening to the radio how important City of Troy is to Coolmore in the sense of the breeding? You know, and a lot of people won't particularly care if Coolmore and their partners, who are exceptionally rich, have another very wealthy stallion. But in terms of the breeds, the post-Galileo world, how important is City of Troy?
Huge. I mean, Galileo's gone 3 years this week. So that's, and you know, in the world of flat racing, that's the end of the cycle, you know, that's it. Like his last 2 year-olds on the ground. So, what they've missed, they've probably missed the boat, you know, really. And, you know, when Galileo came along, it was an obvious successor there because Sadler's Wells was still around and he could just build on that momentum. Now they have a little gap where they've been finding. Frankel has come into that gap. Dubawi, to a certain point, has come into that gap. So to have this horse with the pedigree has, with that just, you know, by Justify, with the, you know, Galileo influence as well, it's absolutely huge. He's, you know, technically from that same bloodline, if he's not, or that same line, even though he has, you know, to Justify on the stallion side. But it's all about having a superstar sire to really, you know, keep going. You know, Chudmont may have Frankel, Dubawi, Godolphin have Dubawi. At the moment, Coolmore don't have that headline sire. And it has to be a classic sire. It has to be a sire who's going to go and breed horses who are her 8-10 furlong horses. And that's potentially what he is. But there's no one there at the moment that's really taken up the mantle. You know, Camelot's done well. He's just gone and had an Irish Derby winner. He has the likes of Luxembourg as well. You know, sorry, Camelot's progeny have done well. I know some people within the organization feel he is a little underrated and undervalued. He is also the last of that Monjou line as well. But yeah, it's hugely important that a big hitting stallion arrives in, because I feel like the St. Mark's Basilica thing, he may come along, but it's too early for him yet. We haven't seen his progeny on the ground. You know, his foals have sold well, but, you know, foal sales are often, there's often an element of marketing to those prices as well. So, you know, you have to see the stock on the ground, on the racetrack, before you make a decision. Obviously, Coolmore have gone quite hard into Siouni anyway. They've got the likes of Paddington is by Siouni as well. They've got St. Mark's Basilica is by Siouni. But, you know, Siouni's not a Coolmore sire, whereas, you know, Justify is. So it'd be important to have a European son of Justify doing the business. And again, he's a horse. If he goes and wins a couple more Group 1s this season, you know, I don't know if we'll see him as a four-year-old, but he's certainly a very valuable stallion prospect that can literally trot around the world you know, covering mares in all jurisdictions.
Well, this is the thing as well. So does he run on the dirt in due course, running the Classic? I recall it didn't work out for George Washington. You pretty much need to have an American pedigree to some extent to handle the dirts. It seems anyway. European horses generally don't. Where do you see him going later in the season? Like, it'd be lovely to see him in the Champion Stakes at Leopardstown, mile and two, truly run race on probably nice ground. But obviously the concept of seeing him in the States on dirt is quite compelling as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love to see. I'd love to see him come back for Irish Champions. Sorry, Festival now, not weekend. We have to make sure we get it correct. But yeah, Irish Champions Festival. That's a really obvious target for him. He'll probably take a stop off in between. And yeah, I mean the Breeders' Cup Dirt to the Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a rare empty space on Aidan O'Brien's trophy wall, isn't it? You know what I mean? A big trophy cabinet they have in Coolmore, and that's probably the one that they don't have trained by a Ballydoyle trainer. So, if he goes and rips it up in Europe for the rest of the year, it has to be on there, has to be on the radar to think about that. To think about a Japan Cup, you know, those kind of races. I'd be intrigued to see where he goes. Look, they've got the August Rodin to go and take on those big international races as well. You know, Luxembourg's No Mug. They've serious horses to go for the back end of the season and take on the big international races. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if Los Angeles is classy enough to take in an arc amongst those, you know, if we're going to take in who goes where later on the season internationally for Ballydoyle.
Yeah, the arc's going to be cool as well. We will have a look at just some of the racing at the weekend in the members section. We look at it in more depth, but we'll have a look at one race if that's all right, Tom. Just for this section, the free terrace section, it's on the July course at Newmarket, and that is the Superlative Stakes. We have the Dubawi Bred. You mentioned Dubawi, the Dubawi Bred Ancient Truth, who's bidding to win for the third time for Godolphin and William Buick back aboard, taking on the likes of Parthenon, trained by Aidan O'Brien. This horse won at 4-11 the last day. Kind of still looked a bit green, I felt, at Gore. And he's a horse by Kingman, who's, again, a sire that gets a lot of good horses. Wouldn't be everyone's cup of tea. And there aren't necessarily that many of them on the ground in Ireland, or certainly from Ballydoyle. And Line of Force, an interesting horse by Calix, who bids to back up a couple of wins at Ripon and Carlisle. Are you sort of with the favourite here? Are you looking for a bit of an each-way angle in the race?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those races where I just would struggle to have the Parthenon. And look, he's obviously a very classy horse if they thought he's good enough to start off in the Marble Hill. But as much as sometimes you can't read too much into that with Aidan, it's just he needs to get runs into the horses before Royal Ascot. And he takes chances with maidens in pattern company. Look, you're dead right about the Parthenon. He's got a horse that could kind of keep going the right direction. I love Ancient Truth, though. I just thought there's so much to like about him. He's won over course and distance. Charlie Appleby's horses have been a little bit in and out this season. You know, pretty disappointing Royal Ascot. Really good at the start of the season. Ancient Truth looks a nice horse. Won well the last day. He deserves to be around about a 7-4 favourite. And then you got the likes of Line of Force, who's coming up there as well. And definitely an each-way prospect, because Carl Burke's horses are, I think one of the last times I was on you as well, we're talking about Carl Burke's horses, and then Fallen Angel did go and do it eventually at the Curragh in the 1,000 guineas after I tipped her up at Newmarket. But Line of Force definitely looks like he's on the right path, and the Parthenon as well is going the right direction. But I'd struggle to look past Ancient Truth there. Again, race Godolphin have won in the past, and just really nicely bred horse as well by Dubawi out of an Australian mare.
Right, the Make Mine a Double J section. So it's Tom, Bugsy Malone and Johnny Ward today. We're going to give our one selection for the free to air. I'm going to give the Parthenon each way actually in that race, and we'll talk a bit more about the other races the second half of the show. What are you going to give, Tom?
I'm actually going earlier in the Newmarket card. I'm going to give an each way selection to a horse called Bintubaha. Bintabua, second by Gayath, the world champion Gayath. Bill Knight trains, Jim Crowley aboard. Ran about 12-1 at the moment. Thought that was a really, really generous each way price there in the 140 that Philly's maiden at Newmarket.
Yeah, we're just going to end this part of the show and just pay tribute to John Hunt. John Hunt is obviously the BBC commentator, and you may have read the situation which prevailed upon him this week, where he lost his wife Carol and his two daughters Hannah and Louise, and it's obviously an ongoing story. John Hunt has been in all our thoughts, and just in the racing journalist WhatsApp groups this week in Ireland, it was clear how much he's in what regard he's held. I don't know him that well, Tom. First of all, he's my favourite commentator. I've said that before. But second of all, the few times I met him in England, the warmth that you'd get off him, and I have to say I was struggling to hold back reading some of the stories about how much he loved his kids this week, and our thoughts are with him, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, himself and Richard Hoyle's obviously very close as well, judged by the piece on ITV during the week. It's just the most horrific incident. You know, he clearly loved his kids, but he's obviously at a stage in life himself where you have a different relationship with your children. You know, his two daughters are in their 20s. They're obviously, you know, had careers, obviously still incredibly close. It's just the most heartbreaking situation. And, you know, there's everything seems so hollow, but, you know, you just send your love and, my goodness, your condolences to him and his family. It's just the most shocking incident.
Yeah, it was a beautiful tribute on ITV by Richard Hoyle. If you get a chance, look that up on the social channels as well. This is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. And if you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we'll be leaving you here. If you're looking for more, including our analysis of additional races this weekend across Britain, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe. Get the full podcast every Friday with our racing tips, insights and stories from this week's action.